Here are two verses of an Advent hymn. Then cleansed be every Christian breast, and furnished for so great a guest. Yea, let us each our hearts prepare for Christ to come and enter there. Stretch forth thine hand to heal our sore, and make us rise to fall no more. Once more upon thy people shine, and fill the world with love divine. The saying for our first exercise, the words of Jesus to the centurion, I will come and heal. When he was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth in the house sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the rest of the story, I'm sure we all know quite well, how the centurion, this Roman soldier, considers himself unworthy as a host for the Lord and says that he is a person under authority, as clearly Jesus is, and also wielding authority as Jesus does. And by his authority, Jesus will be able to heal by his word, and need not enter the house of the centurion. And Jesus commends the centurion for his great faith. The faith, as Jesus says, that he has not even found in the household of faith which is the Israel of God. A wonderful story. I will come and heal. We need to look more widely, I think, at the context as well of the very words which Jesus uses in Matthew 8 and verse 7. Jesus is the coming one. I will come. The promise of the coming of Messiah is deeply embedded, as we know, in Jewish scripture. And that is an element that we must not let go by without consideration, I think. I will come implies the promise, the future hope, as well as the divine intention. The intention which, as we believe, is fulfilled in Christ. And then he comes with the purpose of making whole. And once again, as I'm sure you know, the word for healing is similar in Scripture, if not synonymous, with the word for salvation. So that healing and salvation are, as it were, the one package which the Lord provides, has provided, and will provide for his people. The very word Jesus, which is the same as Joshua, means God saves. And the salvation is known in Christ in all kinds of ways. One very obvious way is in the healing ministry. But that, in a sense, was the simple part, at least as far as Jesus was concerned. George Bennett, who was widely engaged in healing ministry, used to say that Jesus couldn't help healing. It simply flowed through him because of who and what he was. What was far more difficult was to convey the understanding of the meaning of salvation and all that that implied in terms of human response and the need for humans to respond to the love of God in exercising that love one with another. Healing and wholeness. When I first went to the Holy Land, I was amused by the little Arab boys who used to call out to the pilgrims, usually selling something, they were, "Hello, hello." And it wasn't until I'd been there a few days that I realized they weren't saying hello at all. They were saying shalom, the great traditional word of health and wholeness and healing. Shalom. And that, of course, has come across in our hello, which means really health be with you, wholeness and healing. And that is what salvation is all about. That is what we need constantly to learn and to relearn. And it doesn't come on easy terms. It comes really with a challenge, and the challenge perhaps is indicated in the story of the centurion who points out the human unworthiness. That is an element which we must not forget in respect of salvation. As we come to realize the human unworthiness to receive the great gifts of God, so we become that much more receptive in receiving those great gifts and the gift of salvation. I will come and heal. In our first silence, we put away our own thoughts now about this and allow the words to dwell in our minds just by careful and constant repetition as we hear them spoken from the divine source, which indeed they are continually, whether we hear or whether we don't. I will come and heal. I will come and heal. I will come and heal. Healing and wholeness don't come cheap, as I indicated. It's interesting that today, May the 8th, is the day set aside to remember Mother Julian of Norwich in our new church calendar. And I suppose amongst her most famous sayings that she heard, is the one known to most of us: all shall be well and all manner of things shall be well. When you come to look at Mother Julian's writings, you find that those words caused her tremendous trouble. She kept coming back to them and saying, how can these things be? How can all things be well? How can you make all things well when there is so much distress and trouble, when there is sickness and black death and violence and so forth, all of which went on within almost yards of the cell that she occupied? So she kept coming back to this phrase as a question and hearing the Lord repeat it to her. And within the promise of healing and salvation, we have to build in the perspective of pain and suffering and the understanding of that as far as we may. Not only Mother Julian, but even St. Paul, of course, had the same problem. We don't know quite what the problem was in his instance, the thorn in the flesh. But he heard the words spoken from the divine source, which he recorded in his first letter to the Corinthians, the 12th chapter and verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My power is made perfect in weakness." Learning to understand the purpose of pain and suffering is very much part of the vocation of Christian people and very much needed in our day when people have parted company with the divine understanding of things. It isn't easy, certainly, and Mother Julian found it very difficult to understand, and yet the words would not leave her, "All shall be well." And at one point she hears, or rather she says, "I receive no other answer to my questioning except this: what is impossible to you is not impossible to me. I shall preserve my word in everything, and I shall make everything well. I shall preserve my word in everything, and I shall make everything well." And then a kind of triumphant shout, as it were, from the divine source. The glorious future, the future hope, whatever the present may be, that which is held out before us. "Suddenly," she hears the voice, "suddenly you will be taken out of all your pain, all your sickness, all your unrest and all your woe. And you will come up above, and you will have me for your reward, and you will be filled full of joy and bliss, and you will never again have any kind of pain, any kind of sickness, any kind of displeasure, no lack of will, but always joy and bliss without end." A wonderful statement of the Christian hope of fulfillment in God's future. All shall be well. Once again, mentally repeating the saying of Jesus, let us hear the word spoken within us, more deeply in our hearts: "I will come and heal. I will come and heal." Will come and heal. Be ye not hearers of the word only, but be ye doers of the word. This is St. James in the first chapter of his letter. And we do the word. Having received, we intercede. We give out spiritually the riches of God's word to those who need it. Intercession is the work of the fellowship, and it's something we cannot do until we have learnt the discipline of stillness and silence and receptivity of the word, for we cannot give what we have not received any more than we can pour water out of an empty bucket. In the name of our Lord, I am, we proclaim his word to his people. As he says, you are my people. All you who are torn apart at this time in strife, in unrest, in violence, in ethnic division, you, my people, in the Holy Land, in the Sudan, in the Balkans, in Afghanistan, you, my people, in Northern Ireland, I will come and heal. You, my people, especially known to us here present in any kind of need, we thank you, Lord, for the gift of your holy word and for all your unsearchable riches, which pour forth from you as light pours from the sun, in boundless generosity and profusion. Whether received, ignored, or rejected. And once again we offer to you, insofar as we are able, as an emptiness to be filled with your divine fullness, all that we are, all that we have, and all that we do, a living sacrifice in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.